Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Okay, guys, we have to talk about transition again. I know I've given some words about transition in different ways, but welcome back to Exploring the Prophetic. I'm Sean Bowles, and today's episode is for every single one of you that are in the middle of any kind of transition, whether it's into a new job or a new city or a new church, a new relationship, a new project, or even just a brand new season spiritually. We've all been there. We've all been in transition, but transitions can be so sacred, but they can also be very disorienting. And it's one thing that, you know, when you have a prophetic word that has something that there's going to be a change or something, but it's another thing to work that out well. And today I want to share with you some prophetic insight and hopefully biblical wisdom to help you transition with grace and clarity and spiritual strength. So transition and change isn't a negative thing, but it becomes a positive thing. The way we exit one thing deeply impacts the way we enter into the next. And sometimes we're not in control of that, and other times we are, but it's really interesting even how that can speak a message over our transition from God. And we're going to walk through the biblical archetypes of people who navigated major transitions and came out full of promise and power, so you don't want to miss that part. I'm also going to give practical prophetic steps you can follow right now in your journey. But first, if this podcast has been blessing you at all, would you consider subscribing and hopefully leaving a review? And that helps us even reach more people. Of course, this is also a YouTube show as well. If you're on YouTube or Facebook visiting us, make sure to tell us, and you can use our hashtag if this word's for you. My turn is our hashtag. So you can say hashtag my turn and tell us what you want prayer for, and we'll be praying for you. And if you see us heart it, that means we prayed. If you see us like it, that means we prayed. And sometimes we respond. I personally respond very often to these because I'm praying for you. And just a quick reminder, our spiritual growth mentoring community is open now with my incredible new class on all about how to pursue your calling and get a blueprint for your calling. Obviously, I couldn't say the word blueprint, a blueprint for your spiritual calling. And you're going to love this class. It's all about how to hear from God. We've done two classes so far. We're on the third one next week. You guys could join us for it. It's on Tuesday nights. We have two more classes live, but you can, if you join the class today, you're going to get the pre-recorded ones from the last 2 weeks as well that you can watch at your own pace. And we're going through, and you're going to have practical steps to take, but also hear from other people. We have interviews with people who've learned how to walk into their calling, and they've actually defined some things about calling that were really encouraging to me. I loved our first two classes so much. So I'm going to encourage you guys to join us there as well. Okay, so here we go. Let's talk about transitioning well. Let's talk about spiritual dynamics of transition. You know, we so often see transitions as disruptions, and that's one of the reasons why people don't like to transition. People don't like change. I know some people have looked at, my wife and I were close friends with us who've lived in their house their whole life or their whole adult life, and they've looked at us who we moved, I think, six times in our marriage. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys, how do you even do that? Like, why would you? I would never want to move again. We're like, do you think we want to move? We've actually been positioned, and part of our positioning from God and moving these different places has unlocked different things inside of us. So for us, we've had different moves that have changed our lives and have been part of our investment strategies from God, not just from, you know, not just from our own desire, but he's training us in things. He's unlocked different destinies and purposes and used these as prophetic journeys, not just as moves. And so for us, like, of course, no one ever wants to change. Do we want to change? Do we ever want to move? No. If you ask my wife, one of the things I told her when we first got married is I never want to move once we find the first house we buy. I just want to live there, even if it's small, the rest of our lives. I want to grow up our girls there, because I grew up in an Air Force family and we moved all the time. So my personal passion was to be in one place and live there forever. But that was not God's plan. I love that it was my plan. And we laugh about it now because she's like, remember when you told me that? And I wanted to honor that. Like, I never wanted to move again. And then she was the instigator where God spoke to her about the first move we had. And it was, you know, it was just like so clear from God about buying a house. And it was in LA. And so we weren't able to buy a house. And the natural, we had to like depend on God for the resources and the strategy and the unlocking of it. It was this whole thing. And even though God came through with it, I still was challenged just by the fact that I didn't want to move. I didn't want the transition. And in God's world, transitions are invitations. And I had to like re-gear my mind to say, this is actually an invitation from God. It's into a purpose, into maturity, and a greater impact. I have to look at it that way. Even though there's pain in transition, there's pain in changing. There's pain in coming into something new. I have a picture behind me of these butterflies, this famous picture, this beautiful photograph. And I love this picture for us today, because if we transition, it's almost always a metamorphosis. It's almost always something like, whether it's a job, whether it's relationally, whether it's from one church to another, geographically, whatever it is, there's always something inside of you that becomes something else, that becomes more in God when God's leading us in the transition. So the question isn't, am I just transitioning? The question is, am I transitioning well? Am I looking for that metamorphosis? Am I going to allow change? Or am I going to be like a child when children, you tell them that you're going to ask them to do something that they don't want to do, they kick and scream. It becomes this whole power trip and power struggle. But when someone's mature and they understand their parents provide good things, that their parents won't ask them to do something that's unnecessary, they trust their father, they trust their mother, then the children don't rebel, they don't throw fits, they don't throw tantrums. And so we need to learn how to transition really well. And I'm speaking to myself, I'm preaching to a choir there, because there's times I've kicked and screamed and thrown tantrums and all of the above. But let's look at Abraham transitioning, because he transitioned geographically and relationally. In Genesis 12, Abraham's story begins with, you know, one of the most vague, uncomfortable instructions ever. Go to a land I will show you. There's no map. There's no explanation. Just a promise and a direction. And how many of you have that right now? Like God's transitioned you and it's just a promise and a direction with some steps towards it. And Abraham obeyed. He left his land. He left his family. He left everything that was familiar. And I think some of you, you know, prophetic step number one, you know, are we going to leave with a blessing, not with bitterness? Are we going to leave what we're doing and say, God, thank you for all you've done through this, and you're leading me into something else, and I'm not going to be sad for what I'm losing, because in the kingdom, we're supposed to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. I heard a statement the other day that I've quoted twice in the last week, where it was a TikToker, and he wrote a song, and so I don't know if this came from him or somewhere else, but he said, it was like a hip-hop kind of song, and he said, I don't want to climb a ladder, I'm going to climb a cross for you. And there's an attitude of surrender where we have to actually say, not my will, but your will be done, God. And if we have our will, then we're bitter when things don't work out the way that we anticipate they would work out. Because many times when God leads us, he might lead us into a wilderness for a while, or he might lead us into something that's uncomfortable, or we might not get led into instant fruitfulness of what we anticipated his leadership would bring us. And that's discouraging, because we don't want something that doesn't come with instant gratification or doesn't come with our expectations being met. So how you exit something matters, and you have to like actually die to some of your expectations. You have to maybe put on the shelf some of your anticipations for what you think should happen. And you have to say, God, your will be done, not mine, your process, not mine. So if you leave a job or a church or a city, you got to do it with honor. You got to do it in a way that honors them, the people you're leaving, honors the season you had there, and honors the going, in the sense of like, I'm going. Bitterness contaminates the soil of your next season for sure. I've watched people who, you know, the husband and wife, they agree to move, but one of them doesn't really want to move in their heart. And they know it's a God thing, but like it takes a while for the other person to get on board it. And if you're bitter over the move, we're leaving family behind, or we're moving towards family, either one could be hard. And, you know, it's like I've watched people struggle, and that bitterness actually pollutes the unity. It pollutes the perspective. It pollutes the seedbed, so to speak. And we got to be careful of doing that. And Abraham left with blessing and built altars to what God was doing wherever he went. I think prophetic step number two is let go of the false need for clarity. And God often doesn't show us the full picture when he wants us to trust him more than the plan. I mean, God has said it over and over. Jesus even said it's by faith, not by sight. You know, it's like we have to walk in a place of faith. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Knowing what the plan is glorious, but knowing Jesus is more glorious. Knowing his will and knowing that his personhood, that he'll only lead us to good things, is he'll test you in that. He'll test your belief in him. And that's a hard one when he tests you by faith. And that's one of the worst things and most beautiful things of our faith. You know, the second person I want to look at is Joseph, and he transitioned into purpose and position. I love Genesis 37 through 50, the story of Joseph. I talk about it quite a bit. But Joseph was betrayed, of course, demoted, falsely accused, and every step was a part of his divine rerouting into his purpose. And when the sudden transition to Pharaoh's court came, he didn't cling to the pain of his past. He led with great purpose. He didn't look at him and go, finally, I could punish the people who, you know, who sinned against me, who accused me falsely. I can go after Potiphar's wife and go after my brothers. I can get the justice that I think needs to happen because of bitterness. And I'm not saying justice isn't something we should not long for. We should long for justice, but we want God's kingdom justice, not our sense of what entitled justice that we want to feel right and to feel good. And I think, you know, this prophetic step number three is let your character grow deeper than your opportunity. And your transition will demand way more inner maturity than outer skill. And Joseph understood that. He was ready not just because a gift. He was ready because his heart had been so formed in the hidden places. And I feel like many of you walk through that. Your heart is being formed right now. You're registering. This is your hashtag my turn moment. It's like you're being so formed that you don't even recognize your responses. You know, I have a friend who he was very much a road rager, you know, and he would get mad in the car, and he it was kind of secret for a long time, but it would leak over when you're riding with him, where he'd get mad at people. And in LA and driving there, it's like very easy to get mad at people because there's so many bad drivers and there's so many things that just happen because of the volume of people that are there in the traffic. And so he lived in a place of anger and frustration. And I remember God was changing something inside of him. And I noticed because I rode with him like 3 or 4 times in a row, and he was completely at peace. Sorry, I hit my microphone. He was completely at peace with himself and with the road around him. And I said, what's happened in you? What's going on? And he goes, well, I got 3 tickets in a row, and I realized like I'm about to lose my license if I get another ticket, because the way I'm driving, I would drive crazy around, people get really upset. And I realized like I am pressed towards losing my driver's license because I don't have good character in this area. And I realized I need to change. And so I asked God, I like pressed into him and said, change me, God, because I can't handle this myself. And he goes, I'm so glad you're noticing it, because I've actually had quite a transformation inside. I'm so glad you can see the difference, because it's a completely different. I never get mad anymore. I never get upset at other drivers. That trigger's gone. It doesn't get pressed in me at all. And I feel like some of us, like, maybe you've been pressed all the way to the edge of losing something to where you have to change. But man, even if that's your transition, that place of change and inner working, and it's beyond what therapists could bring you. And I love therapy. It's beyond what inner healing will do. It's like a transformation of your inner character to say yes to Jesus on the base level, base nature level of your soul. And only God can do that. Only God could change us and transform us. And we all know people, and we all know people have never changed. Even we don't know ourselves. We know areas we've never changed in. And so to see when God does bring that transformation is such a night and day difference. And we have to trust God for that and press in for that. And, you know, our prophetic statement before us, forgive before you arrive. I love that Joseph already had his forgiveness done for his brothers and for Potiphar's wife and for everybody else before, especially his brothers, before they came back into his life. Transition can't be carried out when cleanly while we have this baggage that we're dragging of offense behind us. It just doesn't work well. And I think the children of Israel marched around for 40 years, and their children inherited the promised land because it's so much bitterness and baggage. They couldn't even inherit their promised land. It had to be a legacy project. And I just don't want to be those people. You know, it's like God wants to transition you into something, but sometimes he wants to get our heart right. It's even more important to obey him and go into a season, even if it feels like wilderness or like, you know, uprootedness, like we've talked about in the last couple of weeks or whatever it is, to get there and actually change and allow that transformation to happen. So when we get into a season that is like a promised land, no matter what comes against us, we have a place that's reconciled to Christ inside of us and our character, so we can enjoy who he is, and we can enjoy ourselves and the people that he's put in our lives in that place. Our third person I'm gonna look at is Ruth, and Ruth transitioned into a whole new community for purpose and relationship. And I love the book of Ruth. It's just such a powerful book. And Ruth had every reason to stay in Moab. She was a widow with no guarantee of a future provision, but she clung to Naomi. Something inside of her redemptively knew that this was one of the main things she had to do. And it was one of the boldest declarations of the Bible, where she says, your people will be my people and your God is my God. And it teaches us something profound, I think, about voluntary transition, where choosing something unfamiliar because God's drawing you there is really profound. And I think the prophetic step number 5 I would say to take is commit fully, even when the future is unclear. Like when you feel like God's showing you to do something, commit to it, even when it gets hard, even when the future is unclear, even when the success that you would normally measure doesn't come out successful according to your human standards. You can't straddle 2 seasons. You can't serve 2 masters, and you can't carry Moab into Bethlehem. It's just true. And Ruth's heart was all in, and that opened the door for generational blessing. I mean, Jesus came through that line. And I just think that's so profound to think Ruth's obedience birthed the Christ child ultimately. And prophetic step number 6, position yourself with the right people. Your future is often connected to who you're walking with. And Naomi and Boaz were key to Ruth's next level, not because of what they gave her, but because of how they stewarded her loyalty. They were incredible in how they stewarded that. And man, thank God that they saw in her what they saw in her, and that she saw in them what she was supposed to. And I'm going to get practical and prophetic steps right now, because, you know, these steps to transition, while a lot of this is biblical teaching, and it's you have an aha moment, like a wow, but there's also some keys I'm going to give you. You know, one of the keys is to ask God for the timing of transition. And don't rush and delay it. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's a time for everything. And thank God there's a time for everything. I've rushed seasons before. You don't win. You just don't win. I've also waited too long. I've hesitated too long. And you don't win there either. Just being in step with God is one of the best things we can do. And, you know, fast from over talking. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of transitions, or we confuse other people who are in our life and we talk about it too much, or we out talk ourselves, or we talk ourselves out of things. Learn to hold transitions sacred until it's time to share. And sometimes when God's starting to speak to you something, it's good to just be quiet and hold on to it and see what God, you know, wants to speak further into it before you expose it to a greater audience of your peers and family members. And journal your obedience. Write down what God said, you know, what you know God said. And when things feel shaky, that journal becomes an anchor. Those things that he's spoken to you, those things that he's put in your spirit, especially if you have a spouse or if there's a business partner or someone you're going on the journey with, it becomes an anchor for you and other people as well. So be okay with the wilderness phase. Even Jesus had wilderness before his public transition. Luke 4 talks about it. And delay isn't denial. I've said that several times over the last few months. It's preparation. And sometimes there's a delay in the things that happen. We have to remember that. It's so important. So let's pray. You know, I just want to pray over you that God helps you in this transition, that he helps you to know that on the other end of the transition is more of what he's prepared you for, more of what he's dreamed up for you. Ephesians 3:20, it's beyond what your dream is. It's his dream, beyond what you could hope for or imagine. So God, I pray for everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching, who's going through transition, whether it's geographical, relational, vocational, or spiritual, we ask for your clarity. We ask for courage, God. And we ask for your compassion, that we would apply your compassion for ourselves. We apply your compassion for what we're leaving. We apply your compassion for what we're inheriting and gaining. And Lord, let everyone feel your nearness here. Help them anchor, Lord, with such a place of connectedness to you and in what you're doing in our season, God. And let us exit with your honor and enter with your boldness. Teach everyone watching to build altars like Abraham and forgive like Joseph and cling like Ruth. Lord, let the transitions of today become the testimonies of tomorrow. Wow. I just want to encourage you that some of you can feel maybe that in this transition, you've been looking for more clarity or confirmation, and maybe that's not what you're supposed to look for. Maybe it's more connection to Jesus in this heart. Maybe he's given you all the instructions, the step you're taking right now, and maybe he's going to let you be on a need-to-know basis because he wants you to walk it out by faith, not by sight. Some of you do have that 5-year plan or that 10-year vision, and that's awesome as well. And God may be transitioning you to more of that. And maybe your transition isn't away from something or someone, but it's a transition deeper into what he's already led you into. And like maybe you were doing ministry, but now you can do it full time. Or maybe you were doing a business as a side hustle, but now it's time to focus on that fully. Or maybe you were dating and now it's time to get married. Whatever it is, God wants to show you how to do it well. And he wants to show you how to do it with him and not just for him, or not just do it to the best of your ability, but to do it to the best of his ability of what he offers you. So I pray that you would really look for him, that even the things he's already given you, that he wants to give you more, that revelation is progressive and he always has more to say and more to do in you and through you. So God, thank you for everyone who's watching, and we just bless them. And I want to thank you again for joining me on this episode of Exploring the Prophetic. If this is the first time you've been with me, make sure to join us for each and every conversation by subscribing. And I hope today's word helps you with transition and strength and spiritual confidence for real. Like we need to grow in our spiritual confidence today. Don't forget to subscribe, leave the review if you already haven't, and join our mentoring community. And this month we have that brand new class I talked about, which is all about your spiritual calling and getting a blueprint for your spiritual calling. As always, any amount of support you can give is going to help us to spread this message and this ministry all over the world so that we can make Jesus more known, and so we can activate and equip people and how to hear from God and really go on a biblical-based journey of walking out their own prophetic journey. So any donation amount you can give is going to help us greatly. We need your support. We've had some big resistances over the last few months, and so we want to really get some great blessing to be able to do the full mission we have, and we need your partnership to do that. So go to donate.bowlsministries.com or bowlsministries.com, click on the Give button, and it's going to help us so much to do everything that God intends. Well, until next time, I'm praying your transition that God's leading you in, go straight into the God's promise and God's promised land. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to BowlesMinistries.com or SeanBowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.